Morning. Today's daf Mechoros is Nun Ches. We are in the Mishnah Nun Zainam and Beis, and we are now talking about checkpoints in the course of the year. Ma'aseh Behemah, the Mitzvah of Ma'aseh Behemah, as now we've discussed for a number of days. This is the time to discuss it. We're in the ninth parak of Mechoros. The topic is Ma'aseh Behemah. Ma'aseh Behemah requires that any animals that are born in the course of this year, now this year needs definition. We're going to define in just a moment. Any animals that are born in the course of this year now have to be penned and then allowed exit through the pen and counted. And we count one through 10, and the 10th animal is going to be marked with a red mark, and that's going to be a Ma'aseh Behemah animal. Okay. Now, there is a fiscal year to Ma'aseh Behemah. In other words, this year is very important. That's very significant. You cannot, as we learned at the beginning of the parak, you cannot take off Ma'aseh Behemah from animals that are born this year with animals that are born in the previous year, nor can you be taking off from animals that are born in the upcoming year. So every year has to be kept independent of one another. It is a fiscal year. And when does the fiscal year begin and end for Ma'aseh Behemah? So this is where it gets a little tricky. It's Machlokas. Machlokas Tanayim, exactly when the fiscal year begins and ends. Well, once you know the beginning, you're going to know the end. But in terms of when the beginning is for Ma'aseh Behemah, so it's a Machlokas. And there are two opinions. And the two opinions that are quote-unquote out there. We're going to see it in the Mishnah. One opinion is that it is Rosh Chodesh Elul. The first day of Elul is the beginning of the fiscal year for Ma'aseh Behemah. So that, of course, means now that calendarically we're going to go from the first day of Elul all the way to the last day of Av. Now, I said the last day of Av. I didn't say the 29th or 30th because it fluctuates. Sometimes it's 29, sometimes it's 30. So, but whatever, you understand. It's from the first day of Elul to the last day of Av, so that's going to be the calendaric year for Ma'aseh Behemah. That's one opinion. A second opinion is that it is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, the first day of Tishrei. Also, by the way, reported that the first day of Tishrei also goes by the name Rosh Hashanah, which is an accurate report. It's true. So that means to say now that from the first day of Tishrei to the last day of Av is going to be the fiscal year of Ma'aseh Behemah. Now, as we're going to see, just preview some coming attractions, Ben Azai, right, the very famous Tana, which we'll talk more about later this morning. So Ben Azai was uncertain in terms of what is the correct halacha, whether it's the first day of Elul and the first day of Tishrei. And so therefore, he played both sides of this, meaning that according to Ben Azai, because he was unclear when the fiscal year began and ended, so that means to say that any animal that's born in Elul, so you know what Ben Azai did? He compartmentalized those animals. He segregated those animals, and those animals are going to be ne'asar by themselves, and not to be combined with any animals born before Elul and any animals born after Elul because of his uncertainty in terms of when the fiscal year actually begins. Okay. And we'll talk more about that position of Ben Azai a little bit later on. Okay. So point number one, in order to understand our Mishnah, is that there's a fiscal year to the Ma'aseh Behemah. And that means now that may ikar din, according to the strict letter of the law, I can have animals that just keep being born into my flock, and I could just keep postponing the Ma'aseh Behemah, the counting of the Ma'aseh Behemah. Now, am I allowed to shecht an animal or sell an animal prior to the end of the year? The answer is yes. Meaning, this is where Ma'aseh Behemah is different than Ma'aseh Dagan. When it comes to granaries, when it comes to produce, so we know the halacha is very clear. When I bring the produce into my silo and I level it off and now it's measured, so at that point in time, now the produce is what's called tevel. Nobody is allowed to eat the produce until Trumas or Maisers are taken off. In fact, if one were to eat produce prior to Hafrashas, Trumas or Maisers, that's going to be a significant punishment of the Torah. It's a significant Isser. It's a serious penalty in the Torah to do so. When it comes to animals and Ma'aseh Behemah, this is where it diverges. The halacha is that there's no tevel concept when it comes to animals. And really, you could shecht an animal or you could sell an animal prior to the end of the year. But Me'ikar hadin, that means to say that you'll have to the end of the year in order to count, in order to do the Ma'aseh Behemah counting. Okay, now we get to our Mishnah. All that information, by the way, is just like the background to our Mishnah. Now you get to our Mishnah. What our Mishnah is going to teach us is the following, and that is rabbinic checkpoints. In the course of 1 year, there are going to be 3 rabbinic checkpoints. And those checkpoints are basically, when you get up to that date in the calendar, the one of the 3 rabbinic checkpoints, so at that point in time, freeze all your animals. Meaning, you're going to do Ma'aseh Behemah at the checkpoint. And then, when you get to the next checkpoint, you're going to do the same thing. When you get to the next checkpoint, you're going to do the same thing. Now, these checkpoints are in the Mishnah, were referred to as grunos.
What's the point of having the checkpoint?
Excellent question. I'm glad you asked. The Gemara asked that very same question as well. We're going to see it together. So the The Mishnah describes these checkpoints as what's called gerunos. It's a funny word. The Gemara itself acknowledges it's a funny word because gerunos is granary, and we're not talking about produce over here. We're talking about animals. So why are they called gerunos? So stay tuned as the Gemara itself is going to be asking that question. Now, these checkpoints are rabbinic checkpoints, and the Mishnah is going to make this point. I'm just highlighting it right now in the introduction, and that is that these checkpoints are not absolute. Like, for example, let's say I have five animals being born before the rabbinic checkpoint and five animals being born after the rabbinic checkpoint. So not for a moment are we going to say, well, these animals can't be counted together. Of course they can be counted together. They're born in the same fiscal year. It just happens to be that there's a rabbinic checkpoint. And it happens to be that had I had 10 animals going into the checkpoint, so then I would have to count my animals and take off the 10th animal. But the checkpoints are not really divisions in the year. They're just simply, like I described, checkpoints. Okay. So, you'll notice also that these checkpoints are going to be very close to every one of the Gimel Regalim. And that's not by accident. That obviously is by design. Meaning there's going to be a checkpoint hovering around Pesach, hovering around Shavuos, and hovering around Sukkos. And again, as we're going to see together in the Gemara, that obviously is by design. Okay. And also, just one other point, I'm sure, and the Gemara is going to kind of say this, so I feel comfortable saying this, I'm sure that the checkpoints also have to do with the birthing patterns of these animals. Meaning that the animals tend to give birth, and again, the non-farmer speaking right now. Okay, so, but the animals tend to give birth in the springtime, early and late summer. So therefore, these checkpoints are really hovering around the birthing times of the mothers.
So many, let's say you do a checkpoint, right? So the animal that comes out of the tent on that checkpoint, do you hold on to that animal until you get to the end of fiscal year?
Once you count it at the checkpoint, so then you could bring the animal as a carbon. Probably what you're going to do is you're going to end up bringing it up on Yontov when you're making Aliyah L'Regel. That's probably what's going to happen. Okay, with all that stated, okay, somewhat of a lengthy introduction. All of it was hopefully very helpful. Let's start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins Shalosh Gerunos L'Maaseh Behema. So there are three checkpoints for Maaseh Behema. Now, the Mishnah admittedly now is going to give us a lot of information. Why? There are only three checkpoints. How much information can the Mishnah possibly give? Mm-hmm. So as we're going to see together right now, there are three opinions amongst the Tanaim in terms of when exactly these checkpoints are. Now, even though it's a lot of information, if you want to simplify, it's basically a little bit before Pesach, a little bit before Shavuos, and a little bit before Sukkos. Okay, but of course, the details. And now we go well into the details. So, Shalosh Gerunos L'Maaseh Behema, Beprosa Pesach, Prosa Tzeres, Beprosa Chag, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, 15 days before every Yontov. Now, the Mishnah's wording is pros, and we're going to see together that means 15 days. You'll see why. So that means that according to Rabbi Akiva, the checkpoints, the rabbinic checkpoints, are 15 days before every one of the Yomim Tovim. Okay, good. Ben Azai, well, before we go to Ben Azai, if you want to think about that for just a moment, so Pesach falls out on the 15th day of Nisan, right? It's been reported. Torah says so. So if I go now 15 days prior to that, so I am, and in other words, with 14 being number 1, 13 being number 2, right? If I go 15 days prior to that, so I am right now at the end of Adar. Now, I say the end of Adar. Why didn't I just simply say the 29th day of Adar, the 30th day of Adar? So before the calendar was fixed, so Adar could either be 29 or 30 days. So it's right now just better and more accurate to just simply say the end of Adar. Okay. Right? If I'm thinking about it, let's say Sukkos, for example, 15 days before Sukkos. So 15 days before Sukkos is going to be, again, 14th being number 1, 13th being number 2. If I go 15 days backwards, so I'm going to end up at the end of Elul. Again, could be 29th day of Elul, could be 30th day of Elul. It happens to be that Elul, even before the calendar was fixed, Elul was almost never a full month. Elul was always a chaser. It was always 29 days. But anyway, right? So, right. The 15 days before Shavuos, well, Shavuos comes out on the 6th day of Sivan, so it's around approximately the 20th day of Iyar, if you're following me calendarically. If you like the calendar, by the way, you're going to love these Gemaras. Okay, Ben Azai Omer Be'esrim V'tisha Ba'adar Be'echa B'Sivan Be'esrim V'tisha Ba'af. Now, according to Ben Azai, so his dates are just slightly different, one being more than slight. So Ben Azai has on the 29th day of Adar, on the first day of Sivan, which is only 5 days prior to Shavuos, and Be'esrim v'tisha ba'av, and the 29th day of Av. So his numbers are, except for the middle one, his numbers are slightly off, and the Gemara was going to give explanation for the discrepancy between Rabbi Kiva and Ben Azai. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, this is a third opinion in the Mishnah. Be'echad b'Nisan, the first checkpoint is the first day of Nisan, slightly different. Be'echad b'Sivan, same as Ben Azai, first day of Sivan. Uvechav tes be'elol, and the 29th day of Elul. Now, 29th day of Elul is dramatically different than that of Ben Azai. Ben Azai had the 29th day of Av. So they're a month off of one another. How do you explain for that? How do you account for that third checkpoint and a one-month discrepancy? The Gemara addresses that very question. Well, not exactly. The Mishnah says that how come they said the 29th day of Elul, how come they didn't say the first day of Tishrei, one day later? The Mishnah gives a reason, and as the Gemara is going to acknowledge a little bit later on, the Mishnah seems to be missing the boat. The Mishnah gives a reason, well, if I do Maaser Behema on the first day of Tishrei, again, the first day of Tishrei is also Rosh Hashanah, that means it's a Yantiv, and if I do Maaser Behema on the first day of Tishrei, well, you know the 10th animal we're marking with a red pen, and you can't do that on Yantiv, right? Coloring is one of the Malachas on Yantiv. Now, as the Gemara is going to acknowledge a little bit later on, the Mishnah seems to have missed the point entirely, meaning that what I just said is true, but the reason why the third checkpoint can't be the first day of Tishrei is because the first day of Tishrei is the next fiscal year. So, of course, it has to back up until the end of Elul, because once you hit the first day of Tishrei, you're in the new fiscal year. So, the Gemara is going to address that question. And the Mishnah says that I can't mark it with a red pen on Yantav, so that's why it backs up one day. Okay. Rabbi Meir Omer Be'echad Be'elul Rosh Hashanah L'Maaseh Behema. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that it is not the first day of Tishrei, which is the new fiscal year for Maaseh Behema, but rather the first day of Elul. And like I said in the introduction to the Mishnah, so the Tanaim argue exactly when Rosh Hashanah for Maaseh Behema is. And here in the Mishnah, we see it. We also saw it in the first Mishnah on Rosh Hashanah. So you remember that first Mishnah on Rosh Hashanah, there are Arba Rosh Hashanim. There are four new years in every year, meaning that for kings and for agriculture and for Maaser Behema, right? The four different topics being discussed over there. So there are four beginnings in every year. One of them being, what is Rosh Hashanah for Maaser Behema? And if you remember that Mishnah on Rosh Hashanah, it's a Machlokas Tanayim, as we're learning now in this Mishnah as well. It's a Machlokas Tanayim. So it's either going to be the first day of Tishrei or it's going to be the first day of Elul. And again, we just learned out the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds it's the first day of Elul. And that obviously conflicts with the opinions of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. That's the opinion that we saw prior. Ben Azai Omer, and here we get to the Mishnah, which I introduced also back before the Mishnah. And this is the opinion of Ben Azai. According to Ben Azai, when is the new fiscal year for Maaseh Behema? So Ben Azai says, I don't know. And because of his answer of, I don't know, now when I say I don't know, meaning it's either going to be the first day of Elul, the first day of Tishrei. But because of this uncertainty of Ben Azai, therefore, ha'alulim mit'asrim bifnei atzman. So for Ben Azai, any animal that's born in the month of Elul, so I can't connect it. I can't combine it with animals that are born prior to Elul, because the first day of Elul may represent the new fiscal year. I also cannot combine it with any animals that are born in Tishrei, because Tishrei may be the new fiscal year. So therefore, Ben Azai said that all animals born in Elul are kept independent. And therefore, if there are 10 animals born in the month of Elul, so then we'll do Maaser Behema. Otherwise, we won't. Any animal that's born from the first day of Tishrei until the 29th day of Elul are going to combine. Now, by the way, as the Mishnah continues, let me make this point really clear. As the Mishnah continues right now, we are leaving Ben Azai's position behind, meaning that was Ben Azai's opinion. Now the Mishnah is assuming that the new fiscal year starts on the first day of Tishrei. Okay, and therefore, any animals born from the first day of Tishrei until the 29th day of Elul are now combining towards Maaseh Behema. I could take the aggregate total of all those animals. Five animals born before Rosh Hashanah, five animals born after Rosh Hashanah cannot combine because they are not born within the same fiscal year. But what if I have five animals born before a checkpoint? before one of the rabbinic checkpoints. So they do combine. So imkein lama namru shalosh granos lamaisa behema. So if I have animals born being born before and after the checkpoint and they combine, what was the point of the checkpoint? So the Gemara says the checkpoint is exactly that. It's a checkpoint. Meaning prior to the checkpoint, if I want to sell an animal and if I want to shecht an animal, I'm within my right to do so. But once we hit a rabbinic checkpoint in the course of the year, so that means to say that you cannot do anything with the animals, not shecht it, not sell it, until you take off Maaser Behema. It's basically the Chachamim tapping you on the shoulder and saying, okay, now stop. Right? Assess the number of animals that you have. If you have 10 or above, so then do Maaser Behema and then continue. Okay. Now,
you still can do Shechita, but you don't get the point, the positive point, because you said for Maaser Behema, you don't have
to. Right, because you don't have to. In other words, there is no obligation to count.
Right.
So, in other words, if you happen to have 10, yeah. So then you have a Maaser Behema mitzvah opportunity.
Right.
But there's no obligation to hold the animal and wait until it actually is counted. But once you hit a checkpoint, so then if you have 10 or above, now you have to count rabbinically, based on the Takana de Rabbanan, based on the rabbinic institution. Maisha Talas, the Gemara starts off with the discussion of why these three. So, Amar Rabba Bar Bishula Lekabel. So the Gemara very succinctly explains because it's seasonal. When I say it's seasonal, so the way Rashi explains it over here. Now, by the way, if you noticed on every one of these dapim in the last couple of days, right? It started today. I really mean yesterday. But you'll notice that there are two Rashis. There's Rashi and there's Rashi Ksav Yad, right? We have multiple manuscripts of Rashi. Just as a point of interest, Rashi did not just write one version of his commentary to the Gemara. He kept editing. In other words, it was a lifetime work, and he kept editing and improving his work. So there could have been, by the Balei HaTosfos, they could have had more than one version of Rashi as he kept editing. And so, over here, in these last couple of pages of Bechal Ros, so there was an old manuscript that was found not recently, by the way. In other words, already by the later Rishonim. There was another manuscript of Rashi that was found, and so therefore it was added as well. That's the on the bottom, it's called Rashi Ksav Yad. So then which Rashi do I look at? I try to look at both. Right? So Rashi over here explains that when we say it's seasonal, what we mean by that is that animals giving birth basically revolve around the following. There's Chorfe is the spring. There's Afle, that's the early summer. Literally, afela in both in the Torah and in the Mishnayos refers to the later point in the season. But over here, we're not at the latest point in the season because remember, there are three checkpoints. So there's one that comes out in the spring. That's the one before Pesach. There's one that comes out in the early summer. That's the one before Shavuos. And there's one in the late summer. That's Kaita. Kaita, by the way, you probably hear the word Kaitz, which means late summer in this context. Umayshna b'hanizmane. Now the Gemara says, okay. But that's not a full answer, and the Gemara then just keeps pushing a little bit further. Why these times? I'm Rabbi Tanchon Berei, the Rabbi Chiyesh Kfar Akko, Kedesha Tehe Behema Mitzuya Le'ole Regalim. So basically what happens now, because the Chachamim tell people about these checkpoints, is that now what's going to happen is that there's going to be plenty of animals available for the Ole Regalim. As we approach every one of the three Yontov, so we're all going to pack our bags, and we're all going to make pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, as per the mitzvah Satorah of Aliyah L'Regel. And so that means to say now that as we get to Yerushalayim, we're going to need animals, because there are going to be karbonos that we have to bring. Remember all those karbonos mentioned in Masechta Chagiga. There's the Ola Sariya, which we just discussed earlier. There is the Shame Chagiga. There's the Shame Simcha. There are a lot of karbonos that we're going to bring. And of course, on Pesach, there's the Karbon Pesach as well. So by the Chachamim legislating to the farmers that they're going to get to a checkpoint and now they're going to have to count the animals, so now what's going to do is that's going to create a market for animals. Now the Gemara says, now is that totally accurate? Didn't the Mishnah teach us that prior to the checkpoint, you're allowed to shecht and you're allowed to sell? So how are these checkpoints creating a market? That's the Gemara's very question. Now, it's true that the Mishnah said that before the checkpoint, so the farmer is totally within his right to sell or to check the animal. So, but the farmers also like doing mitzvahs as well. And because they know about the checkpoints, and because they know a mitzvah opportunity is going to come up, so what they're going to do is that they're going to hold on to all animals till they get to the checkpoint. Then they're going to count their animals, and then to do the mitzvah of Ma'aser Behema, and then they're going to go on. So basically, it's true that they don't have to wait till the checkpoint, but they do so because they like doing mitzvahs. And so therefore, what the checkpoint now is creating is it is going to create an animal market, a very healthy animal market, so that when you and I make Aliyah L'Regel, when we're making pilgrimage, so there are going to be plenty of animals that are available right before Yontif, in time for Yontif. Now, why the term Goren? Because again, it's an unusual term to describe animals. Goren is a granary for produce. What's Goren? The Tavla Kegoren. So the Gemara points out it's a borrowed term. The term is obviously for the granary. And in this regard, what the Chachamim did in their institution, in their checkpoint institution, is that they made it like Tevel of Goren. Meaning, again, the word tevel is a description of produce where, before I take off trumas and maizos, nobody can eat from the produce because it's tevel. By animals, that's not so. But what the Chachamim did is that when you get to the checkpoint, it's like tevel. It's like tevel of the Goren, and so therefore, you're not allowed to eat any of the animals once you hit a checkpoint. Assuming, of course, that you have 10 or animals or above. The Kama Pras. Now, we said 15 days before Pesach. Well, we really didn't say 15 days. The Mishnah said pros. I said it was 15 days, but how did I know that? So the Gemara's very question. V'kama pros pirush Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda ein pras pachus mitas vav. Yom. It's 15 days. My mashma. How do we get there? Amar Rabbi Abao pros palga. So the word pros in Hebrew means palga, in Aramaic means half, and pros means to break. So pros means a half, right? We have the term when giving a shear of right, half of a loaf. So the word pros means half. And palga demai, now good, half of what? Meaning we need a unit in order to understand what it's half of. So palga de hilchos Pesach. So for example, the unit is the amount of time that we have to study the laws of Pesach prior to the upcoming Pesach. Ki ad tanya, now this brisa we've seen numerous times. Sholem v'darshim hilchos Pesach konon Pesach lamed yom, according to the Tanna Kamma, 30 days needs to be invested in learning the laws of Pesach, prior to Pesach. Shimon Gamliel Amar Shtei Shabbasos. So Shimon Gamliel says it's 2 weeks. The Gemara elsewhere goes through what exactly is the debate between the Tanna Kamma and Shimon Gamliel. We're going to assume right now that we're holding like the Tanna Kamma. So that means that it's 30 days, and now we're saying half of that. So that's 15 days. Okay. And so now we're going to get into the details. In the Mishnah, what are the checkpoints? So Rabbi Akiva had an opinion, Ben Azai had an opinion, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon had an opinion, and so the Gemara now is going to go through each position and highlight the subtle differences that exist between each of the opinions. Again, I know there's a chance we're going to get lost over here in these upcoming Gemaras. Keep the following basic idea in mind. It is a little bit before Pesach, a little bit before Shavuos, and a little bit before Sukkos. Those are the basic checkpoints, and again, now we know why. So to create a market, the Chachamim wanted to create an animal market so that when people make Aliyah L'Regel, there are going to be animals available. But still, the Mishnah was very specific in terms of when exactly, calendarically, these checkpoints are and what are the point of contention between the various opinions in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to go through it all. What exactly is the debate between Ben Azai and Rabbi Kiva? The Gemara explains. Rabbi Kiva Sever Adar Hasamach LeNisan. So Rabbi Kiva says the following. The Adar that is right before Nisan. Adar is always right before Nisan. But probably what he means is that even if there's a second Adar, meaning the Adar that's immediately before Nisan, Zimna Malei Zimna Chasar, sometimes it's full, sometimes it's not full. Every Jewish month can either be 29 days or 30 days, as we discussed extensively back in Rosh Hashanah. And I know the calendar is fixed right now, so if I asked you how many days are there in Adar, you would open up your calendar. But back in the day, for most of Jewish history, that part's not totally true. Right? The calendar has been fixed for at least 1,700 years. So, right, and we have 3,300 years since Matan Torah. So, okay. So approximately half of Jewish history had us establishing the new month based on Edim and Re'iyah. And then for the last just short 1700 years, so we've been the calendar has been fixed, and so therefore it's we're on autopilot in terms of the calendar. But even when the calendar was not fixed, so sometimes the Adar was full, sometimes it was lacking. And Zimna de Mikla Belomyam Zimna de Mikla Bechavtes Mishum Hachilo Kvi Leizman. And so therefore Rabbi Kiva cannot put a actual date on the calendar. In other words, it's 15 days prior to Pesach, and so it's going to be the last day of Adar. It just happens to be the last day of Adar. Sometimes it can be 29, or sometimes it can be 30. Mm-hmm. So he just simply says 15 days before Pesach, and whatever that falls out in the calendar. That's Rabbi Kiva. Benazir Savar Adar Samach L'Nisan L'Olam Chaser. Now, Benazir is of the opinion that the Adar month is always a Chaser month. It's always going to be 29 days. Hilchach Kfil Eizman B'Chavtes Ba'Adar. And so therefore, he could put it on the calendar. Meaning, he agrees with Rabbi Akiva, it's 15 days prior to Nisan, but now, because Adar is always chaser, so just simply, he could put it on the calendar. 29th day of Adar. Checkpoint number one. Okay, good.
15 days before Yudalid Nisan.
Right, in other words...
Right. It's different by Sukkot, because 15 days is Rosh Chodesh. It's Rosh Hashanah.
No, when we say Pesach, we do mean the 15th day of Nisan. It just happens to be that when you're going back 15 days, you start counting 14, 13.
Right.
Okay. Anyway. Be'echa b'sivan aydi delo nefishe i'amart liktem le'asar adamati rego shamilahu. Now, as far as Ben Azai, here we get to checkpoint number two, and Ben Azai and Rabbi Kiva are more than just a little bit apart from one another. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Let's do Rabbi Kiva first, even though the Gemara is focusing on Ben Azai. But let's do Rabbi Kiva. Our first checkpoint was the last day of Adar. Good. And now you're going to start again. You counted your animals, and now from this point going forward, now you hit the reset button. It's not a big window between the first checkpoint and the second checkpoint according to Rabbi Kiva, because Rabbi Kiva is the second checkpoint being 15 days before Shavuos. So it is about right. In other words, between the first checkpoint, second checkpoint, it's about 50 days. Remember, first checkpoint is 15 days before Pesach. So 15 days before Pesach to 15 days before Shavuos is the same unit of time between Pesach and Shavuos. So it's about 50 days. But that's not really a long window of time. But, okay, Rabbi Kiva says, that's fine, but those are your checkpoints. And if you happen to have 10 animals or above being born in your flock, so then at checkpoint number two, you're going to count again. But Ben Azai doesn't like that, and that's what the Gemara just explained very succinctly. I read it, but now I'll get to explain it. Ben Azai doesn't like it because it's too short a window of time. And what's going to end up happening is that there are really not going to be animals between Pesach and Shavuos with only 50 days between these two checkpoints. And so therefore, what Ben Azai wants to do is he wants to push forward the second checkpoint, creating a larger window of time between checkpoint one and two. And so now, even though, yes, the time between checkpoint number two and Shavuos is now only 5 short days, from Rosh Chodesh Sivan until the sixth day, right? I left out the sixth day, but it's really, really short window of time. But he preferred that so that the window between points one and two are going to be a larger window.
He's only spending about 5 days.
It's an expansion of about 10 days.
10 days?
About.
Okay.
Ben Azai and I, in this regard, share the same tendencies. So the... And I'll read it again in the Gemara. Be'echa b'sivan aydi delo nefishe. It's not a lot, meaning, like I explained, the window in time is not a lot. I'mart liktem le'aser. So if we push back our second checkpoint, adamadi reko shamalahu, there's just simply not going to be any animals left. So he pushes forward the second checkpoint, and that creates now a larger window between points one and point two. Be'chavtes ba'av, and now we get to the last checkpoint. And where does Ben Azai have the last checkpoint? The 29th day of Av. Av? Don't you have the whole month of Elul? So again, this is Ben Azai. Ben Azai l'tamid amar alulim etashim b'fnei atzman. So Ben Azai is being consistent with his own position. Ben Azai doesn't know where Elul belongs. Last year, upcoming year. So therefore, his third checkpoint is going to be on the 29th day of Av. So v'le'asun b'yom lamed. So the Gemara says, okay, but 29th day of Av, can't Av be a 30-day month? So the Gemara says, Zimnan Mechasa La'ava V'inan La'ma'ava De'ker B'chadosh V'yashan. So the Gemara says, yeah, sure, it could be a 30-day month. But once you say the 29th day of Av, everyone's going to be very clear. Because now you put the end of the checkpoint and the 29th day of Av, everyone now knows that's it. Meaning you hit the 29th day of Av, we're always going to hit the 29th day of Av, even though there may be a 30th. And once you put the checkpoint over there, so people will never confuse the Chadosh, the Yashan. Last year versus this year. Now, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amar, Becha, Benisam, Becha, Besivam, V'chulei. So, the third opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. And here the Gemara does the same exercise. We're going to explain what is the subtle nuances in terms of their dates. So, Becha, Benisam, Rabbi Shimon, Gamliel, Damar, Rabbi Shabbaso. So, as far as not taking us back to the last day of Adar, but rather starting on the first day of Nisan, it's only a one-day discrepancy. But still, why? So they subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Remember, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, how much time do you need to study the laws of Pesach? 2 weeks. So if I go back 2 weeks from Pesach, I land on the first day of Nisan. Good. And Be'echa b'Sivan k'dam Mara. Now they chose the first day of Sivan, but they're just simply agreeing with Ben Azai. And we already explained the thought process behind Ben Azai. So let's move ahead. Now they're choosing the 29th day of Elul because they're of the opinion that the new fiscal year of Ma'aser Behema starts on the first day of Tishrei. So then, of course, then the third checkpoint is going to be at the end of the fiscal year, which for them is going to be the 29th day of Elul. Good. Now, as far as the third checkpoint, so the Mishnah gives us a reason why it's not the first day of Tishrei. And like I already foreshadowed back in the Mishnah is giving us what really seems to be totally not the reason. Meaning, what the Mishnah is saying is not wrong. You're not allowed to put a red mark in an animal on Yantav, on Rosh Hashanah. That's true. But that's not why the third checkpoint is backed up to the last day of Elul. The reason why the third checkpoint is backed up to the last day of Elul is because that's the end of the fiscal year. And the Gemara now is asking exactly that question. Don't we need the last checkpoint to be the 29th day of Elul because that's the end of the fiscal year? And why is the Mishnah giving us this other reason about marking our animals red? So the Gemara says, okay, so when you read the Mishnah, that is how you're going to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah, of course, knew about the main reason why the third checkpoint is the last day of Elul. The Mishnah was giving us a supplementary reason as well. So, Chada Devin Lamavid Heker Becharos V'Yashan. Of course, the main reason why the last checkpoint is the last day of Elul is because once you get to the first day of Tishrei, we're in the new fiscal year. That's it. That's the main reason. The Mishnah didn't mention it because the Mishnah assumes that we understood that. And then after that, the Mishnah also gives us a supplementary reason. V'od Mimneshu Yamta V'yev Shalasa B'Yamta Mishum Sakarta. And on top of that, the secondary reason is because if we were to make the third checkpoint to be on Rosh Hashanah, so then we would be violating Yantav because what we would be doing is we'd be placing a red mark on the animal when doing Ma'aser Behema. The tenth animal is going to be marked red, and that is a violation of Yantav. Tosfos over here, second Tosfos on the Amud, addresses the following question. You know, as long as we're giving other reasons why we can't do Ma'aser Behema on Yantav, there's another reason as well. And that is that you cannot be Makdish an animal on Yantav. Being Makdish an animal on Yantav is a rabbinic violation, as mentioned in the Gemara in Beitza, on Daf Lamed Vav. And so Tosfos says, as long as we're giving other reasons why you can't do Ma'aser Behema on Yantav, so why not just simply mention Ein Makdishin? Tosfos at the end gives a really interesting answer. Tosfos writes, you can see in the last 2.5 lines of Tosfos, the Yeshlomer came into Asire Me'elav Kadosh. Afilo Kara Asire Velo Shaykh Le'isra Hektesh Kazeh B'yamtov. When you count the animals, even though the 10th animal is going to be Kadosh, and you're going to be Makdish it, and you're going to mark it, but really, by virtue of the fact that it's number 10, the Kedusha is almost like it's automatic. And it's not so much that you were Makdish the animal. Right, that takes a lot of thinking in terms of what exactly that means. Meaning you're just counting, but you're not actually being makdish it. That's, it kind of goes hand in hand. By virtue of the fact that it's number 10, it's going to be kadosh. Okay, fine. Anyway, that is that's one of Tosus' suggestions in terms of why the Gemara didn't take that into account. We are back in the Gemara. We are more than halfway down Nun Ches Amud Aleph. Rabbi Meir Omer Becha Be'el Rosh Hashanah La'maisa Behema Benazeh Omer V'chulei Tanya. Amr Benazeh Ho V'alala Omerim Kach V'alala Omerim Kach Halum Mitashim La'atzman. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, really interesting Braisa. Benazeh says, I don't know which way to go. The Benazeh says, look, some are of the opinion that the new fiscal year starts on the first day of Elul. Some are of the opinion that the new fiscal year starts on the first day of Tishrei. I don't know. And therefore, any animals born in the month of Elul are going to be kept independent. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Ben Azai, he is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. In fact, he's one of the greatest that we had historically. V'lechse taima deman misaber. So why doesn't Ben Azai just use his power of intellect and arrive at a conclusion? Okay, it's a machlokas. Okay, but the job of the Tanaim are to take a side. And they're going to use their understanding of Torah, their knowledge base, their analysis, and make a decision. Now, maybe you'll say, well, listen, Ben Azai just simply is not equipped enough in order to make this kind of decision. The Gemara says, but that's not true. So Ben Azai says that all of Chachmei Yisrael are comparable to me like the peel of a garlic. Chutz min hakareach is except for that kareach. Now, a lot of interesting points over here. First of all, right. Oh, we'll get to that. So first of all, Ben Azai seems to be making a statement of what you and I would refer to as arrogance. But instead of arrogance, let's just simply call it confidence, or just simply his understanding of his own abilities. Okay, it doesn't have to be arrogance. Number two, he says the only one who surpasses him is the Kareach. Who's he making reference to? So Rashi says he's making reference to Rabbi Akiva. Tosus does not understand and cannot believe that the Gemara would refer to Rabbi Akiva as Kareach. Kareach means bald. And so it's not flattering. It's nothing wrong with being bald. That's right. It's fine. But in other words, it's not a flattering term, and they're going to refer to Rabbi Akiva as the Kareach. Tosus says, I can't imagine. Tosus gives other suggestions of who it. Tosus makes reference to that. So Tosus doesn't agree, but anyway, but Rashi says it refers to Rabbi Akiva, right? Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva were They were Rabbi Talmud, but then Ben Azai ends up becoming like almost like a colleague to Rabbi Akiva. There's an interesting discussion which I'm just going to mention it, but and then move right along. That Ben Azai may have been a son-in-law to Rabbi Akiva, which is difficult because we know that Ben Azai famously wasn't married. Right. Okay. Anyway, I mentioned it. Let's move along.
Was anyone also in the Pardes, Rabbi Akiva?
He went into the Pardes with Rabbi Akiva. He died. He didn't make it. Anyway, Amar of Yochanan. Let's go back to our Gemara. Our Gemara now wonders, Ben Azai, how can you just be sitting between these two positions? In this case, I'd say it almost literally. So, right, and now any animals born in Elul are going to have to be kept independent from any fiscal year because of your uncertainty? Like Ben Azai, like make a decision. The Gemara gives a fascinating answer. So the Gemara's response is, well, this halacha was said over in the name of Nevi'im, and specifically Chagai Zechariah Malachi, who are the last of the Nevi'im. They lived to the end of Bais Rishon. Actually, they made it through and introduced us to Bais Sheni. They were part of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola who came back to Eretz Yisrael after the 70-year Galus and helped build and develop Bais Sheni and what is referred to as the Second Commonwealth. And therefore what? And what is this answer of the Gemara? Now, the Gemara doesn't explain any more. So what does that mean? Because it was said over in the name of Chagai Zechariah Malachi. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi writes over here, I'm looking at the top Rashi, V'lachin lo haya rotza ben azal esmoch am ma'asa v'lekvo halacha b'hakra'av. Let me just back up one line in the Rashi. It's the last lines of the Rashi. So the bein Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon Amri Milsai mipi Hashmua mipi Chagai Zechariah Malachi v'lachin lo haya rotza ben azal The way Rashi describes it, basically, it's like this. This isn't a debate based on Svara analysis. This is just simply a tradition that was received. But in the tradition that was received, there was a little bit of static over the phone, if you will, right? If you like the analogy. And so therefore, the tradition is not clear in terms of what exactly the tradition was. Was it the first day of Elul, or was it the first day of Tishrei? And so what ends up happening is it's a machlokes among Chachmei Yisrael. And so therefore, Ben Azai over here, it's not that he could just simply give analysis and figure out which one of the positions are right, because this is not really based on analysis. It's just based on a Mesorah. If you take a look at the Baam Tosfos and the last line and a half of the Baam Tosfos, he says it even clearer. He writes, V'yeshlam adafilo hachi kem danach de rishos mipi ha-shmua, chagizar chayim alachi lo haya yachol avarer ezu ikar. It's just it's an unsolvable problem, because this is not predicated on svara and arguments and logic and reason, but rather it's just a question of what was the tradition, and Ben Azai simply did not have an accurate portrayal of what the tradition was. And I know, Hedy, how can Rabbi Akiva have it and Ben Azai not have it? They drew from the same well. Okay, some of those questions, which you know, are so good, and I don't have good answers for. Okay, Amar Rava, L'divrei Ben Azai. So the Gemara now gives the following example within Ben Azai. So now Ben Azai has two possible new years for Ma'aser Behema. It's either going to be the first day of Elul or the first day of Tishrei, and as a result of that, so any animals born in the month of Elul are segregated, not to be combined with animals born before, and not with animals born after. However, we could do the following accounting trick with Ben Azai. It's not a trick, but it's, you know, it's a little bit of fancy footwork. Amar Rav Divrei Ben Azai Noldu Lo Chamisha Ba V'Chamisha Bela V'Chamisha B'Tishrei Konsol Adir L'Hit Aser V'Notol Echad Min Ha'ilulim V'Hashar Peturim. Here's what you can do even if you subscribe to Ben Azai. And that's as follows. If let's say I have five animals born in Av, I have five animals born in Elul, and I have five animals born in Tishrei. Now, if you've been keeping score, that's 15 in total. So here now, what Ben Azai would allow you to do is take all 15 of those animals, put them in a pen, and count. And then the 10th animal now could be Bras Ma'aser Behema. Because as the Gemara now is going to explain, if you're thinking about it, you realize, oh yeah, that does work. Miman Afshach. Now, I did leave out one important detail, which I'm going to go back and revisit, but I'll just first read a little bit more Gemara. Mima nafshach, iba echa ba'elo rosh hashanah de'elo v'tishrei mitzarfin, uda'av peturim. So, the Gemara says, well, consider your possibilities. If the first day of Elul is the new year, so that means to say that Elul and Tishrei are mitzaref, and Av is going to be of last year. And v'ibech of a Tishrei Rosh Hashanah. Now, if the first day of Tishrei is the new fiscal year, so the Av Elul mitzarfin, so that means that the five of Av and the five of Elul are going to combine, and the Tishrei Peturim, and that of Tishrei is going to be exempt. So my amart l'tzarfa l'goren echad. I'm sorry. Before we get down to the next point of the Gemara, good. So in other words, so if you're following well, so the five born in Av, the five born in Elul, and the five born in Tishrei, you can put them into one pen, and even if you're Ben Azai, you can count it up, and you can take off one animal on these 15. Now, I did blow by one line of important Gemara, and that is the following. That 10th animal that you've selected has to be from one that are born in Elul. Now, you understand? Has to be. Because if, let's say, for example, I took one, the one of the 10 that I took was either from Av or from Tishrei, well, you don't know if they really are Ma'aser Behema. The five that are born in Av may be totally of last year, the other 10 being this year. And the five that are born in Tishrei, according to Ben Azai, may not be part of last year, but may only be part of the upcoming year. So even as I take these 15 and put them together, I have to make sure that the 10th I take is from one of the five Elul animals that are born, which then presents a new problem, which the Gemara does not address. And that is randomization, right? It's one of the ideas that we keep hitting again and again in this parak. And that is when I count my 10 animals, so by design it has to be random. You can't determine which one is going to be your 10th animal. So even now as the Gemara presents this maneuver, of I have 5, 5, and 5, and I'll just put them all together and I'll count and I'll take the 10th animal. But the 10th animal has to be from the 5 born in Elul, or how can I do that when by design there has to be randomization? Take a look at the top Rashi. He addresses the question. He's bothered by the question. He addresses it. I raise the question, but we're going to go on. My Amart, back to the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, now what are you going to suggest at this point in time? But Sarfa Lagorin Echad? So the Gemara says, well, are you going to suggest now that we should take those 5 that are born in Tishrei and put them now to the upcoming granary? So Atsiri Vada Amarachman of Elo Safek. Well, you can't do that because according to Ben Azai, very possibly those 5 have already been accounted for. And so therefore, they are not Vade, they're only Safek. So Pshita, the Gemara says, now, everything we just said is so obvious. It's one of those times in the Gemara when the Gemara says it's obvious, and I don't know if it's so obvious. Meaning, it all makes sense. According to Ben Azai, if I have 5 Av, 5 Elul, 5 Tishrei, I can put them all together, do 1 Meiser Behema, and take a 10th animal. Again, based on the Mimana Shach that we just went through in the Gemara. The Gemara still insists it's obvious, right? The Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. Ma'od Tema. Ligzor Dilma Asalem Ishka Mehanach, Kamash Malan. Because consider that this maneuver only works only when I make sure that the 10th animal that I take is one of the 5 born in Elul. One can easily imagine that if you are going to go through this procedure, by accident what you're going to do is you're going to take one of the animals born in Elul or one of the animals born in Tishrei, and you have not successfully done it. And so you can imagine the Chachamim are going to say, you know what? This is a risky move, and there is potential for people to make easy mistakes. So maybe the Chachamim would basically say, you know what? We're going to make a gzera. And the Chachamim don't do that. If you'd like my best guess, the Chachamim don't make a gzera over here, because this is really uncommon. First of all this is only within the position of Ben Azai, but even within the opinion of Ben Azai, the chances of having 5 being born in Av, 5 being born in Elul, 5 being born in Tishrei, it's not that common, it's not that frequent, and so the Chachamim don't feel a need to make a gzera. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. Let's just, we'll get ourselves a little bit ahead. Tomorrow, I believe, is Shabbos. Right, it's been reported, and so I don't want to Shabbos. Our time is short, so let's begin. We're going to learn in this Mishnah how to count to 10. Now, prior to this morning, you probably were wondering, am I really sure how to do it? But here we are now learning how to count to 10. Now, I say that slightly tongue in cheek, but you understand we're having a halachic discussion. So, within a halachic discussion, you'll see there are halachas in terms of how to count to 10. So, be'ezetzad misasrin. So now here's the Mishnah with the how-to instruction. Here is our manual in terms of how to do Meiser Behema. So, Konsul Adir, you take the animals, you put them in a pen, Vosam Pesach Katan, you make a small opening, Kadesh Lo Yishnaim Yichom Latzei, Skachas, so that 2 animals cannot exit at one time. Umonim, and you count. Alav Beis Gimel Dal Hevav Zayin Ches Tes. Good, so you counted 9. Vahayotze Asiri, 10th animal that emerges, Soker B'Sikra. So you mark it now with a red marker. V'omer harezeh ma'iser. And you make a declaration. This is my ma'iser animal. Lo sakur b'sikra v'lo man an b'shavet. Osha manam revutzim o'omdim hare elu mit asrin. Now if I didn't mark it with a red pen, or if I didn't count it with a staff, meaning counting is essential, but counting with a staff, preferable. But if I didn't count it with a staff, or let's say I counted them, but not as they were leaving the pen. Let's say they were immobile. They just didn't move. Okay, so I could still count them, even though they're not passing through. Either they're squatting or they're standing. Hare elu mit asrin. So still the Meiser Behema has worked. Hayulo mea v'natal asara, asar v'natal echad ein zem Meiser. But the Mishnah says, here's what's not going to work. Let's say you have 100 animals in your pen. You already counted it. You have 100 animals. So you figure, you know what, here's what I'll do. I'll just take 10 out. Because you know when I do my Sabahima, that's what's going to happen. So you just take 10 out. Or let's say you have 10 animals and you take 1 out. That doesn't work. The halacha of my Sabahima demands that you have to count 9 in order to get to 10. So even though you know you have 10 or you know you have 100, you can't just simply say, okay, I'm pulling 1 out or I'm pulling 10 out. You must count 9 in order for my Sabahima to work. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Meiser. Now, on this point, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says, no, that, in fact, is Meiser, even though I didn't count the 9. Okay, and the Gemara is going to explain the Machlokas. Kafas Echem, and Amunin, L'Sochan, Hare, Elu, Peturin. Now, Let's say as I was counting 1 through 9, so and the right, they're goats, right? And I've been on the goat farm. So let's say they're goats, and one of the goats makes a jump. And the goat jumps from outside the pen back inside the pen. And this is now a counted goat. So hare elu piturim, so then they are going to be exempt. That one goat that jumps back in is going to exempt the other goats for reasons which we're going to explain in the Gemara. Minham usarim lesochan. Now, what if your unfortunate luck is such that which animal jumped back into the pen? Your 10th animal. So you numbered number 10, and then that animal jumps back into the pen. So now you're in trouble. Because what just jumped back into the pen is a carbon. And now you have one carbon animal gets mixed up with other carbon animals. Now, if you remember well, when we talk about animals, live animals, so we are in the world of bittel blocking, meaning that there is no bittel when it comes to animals. They're a davar chashuv, they are significant, and so therefore there's not going to be any nullification. Now, if it has a red mark, so you are good to go, because now you can easily pull it out. Now, if it's not marked, so you have what's called an halacha problems. So min ha'masurim l'sochan kulin yirat shistav aviyachlu b'mumon l'balim. So now, because of this tarovus, of this mixture, where there is not going to be any bittul, so now you're going to have to wait till all animals get a blemish, every one of the animals get a blemish, and then you can only eat the animals with the blemish for concern that this animal is in fact going to be the 10th animal. Now I'm just going to read the Braisa, the first Braisa coming up in the Gemara, which is basically a recap of everything we just did. But we see this time and again where the Gemara brings in Braisas supplementing the Mishnayos that we just learned. Tan Rabban Bezitz on Meiser Konsulat Dir Vosalam Pesach Katan. So here we are in the Braisa giving us the same instructions that we learned in the Mishnah. We're going to see subtle variations between the Mishnah and the Braisa. So Kedei Shalei Yishnayim Yichon Latzeis Ke'achad, so that two animals cannot come out as one. So here in the Braisa, we're given one additional detail we didn't see in the Mishnah. It's a wonderful detail. And that is that what I do is I take the mothers and I put them on outside of the pen. Now, the mothers probably were not born this year, right? I know we did not so long ago an exercise in which we could come up with a case where the mothers are born in the same calendaric year as the children. But most likely the mothers are from a previous year, which means that the mothers already went through Meister Behema. So I put the mothers outside the pen. And v'heim b'bifnim, and the newborns are inside the pen, v'goos v'yotzos l'kras iman. And so now, they're going to be incentivized to walk out of the pen because they see their mothers. And so therefore, they're going to be incentivized to walk out. It's a great strategy to get the animals to get up and move. On top of that, there's also a halachic benefit as well in doing this. Notably, the Gemara is going to explain. V'lifkinu inu. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we just take out the animals? Ya'avor ksiv. V'losha ya'avirenu. So the Gemara says, no, because we want the animals to walk on their own. The Torah's description of Meister Behem is ya'avor. They're going to pass. And not ya'aviruhu. You pass them. So in other words, the animals have to walk on their own volition. Okay. V'losha lu yirka v'lifku. So the Gemara says, okay, now in terms of incentivizing, in terms of motivation, so you know there's an old expression, the carrot? So the Gemara over here asks exactly that question. Why not lure them out of the pen with food? Right? Put a little vegetable outside and lure them with vegetables. Why specifically using their mothers to lure them out of the pen? The Gemara says, well, it's such a good strategy because it has a halachic benefit. And here the Gemara explains, Amar Ravuna Gzeri Mishum, Lekuch Mishum Yasom. So the Gemara says, because we know a purchased animal is not subject to Maaser Behema. An orphan animal is not subject to Maaser Behema. And so therefore, because we need the mothers on the outside in order to lure them out, it's going to remind us, oh yeah, purchased animal, most probably I didn't purchase the mother along with it. So then this is going to remind me that the purchased animals are not part of the count. And yasom, right? Remember, what also does not go into the pen or orphaned animals. By using the mothers in order to incentivize, in order to motivate the newborns coming out of the pen, so again, it's going to remind me that, oh yeah, this animal doesn't have a mother, and so therefore, this animal shouldn't go into the pen. It's a reminder. Because keep in mind, by the way, you can easily have a scenario in which the animal was born, the mother survived, right, a week, a month after the infant was born, and then the mother dies. Then an animal does go into the pen. So not in every case where there's no mother, the animal doesn't go into the pen, but still, it reminds us about the halachas of lakuch, it reminds us of the halachas of yosom. So it is not only a great way of motivating the animals to get up and move outside the pen, but also halachically reminds us of various halachas that we learned about Maaser Behemah. Okay, we'll stop over here.